Hey everybody, so today I'm having a conversation with the hip-hop artist DaBaby. There was a point when DaBaby was literally the face of hip-hop, one of the biggest artists in the world. He conquered all of the hip-hop stages and all the way to the Grammys, he was killing it. Until one day, he made statements at the Rolling Loud Festival, which many people deemed extremely homophobic, and everything in his career changed.
DaBaby is one of the hottest rappers in the game, but after making some wild comments during his Rolling Loud performance, major celebrities like Elton John and Questlove have called him out, saying his actions are ignorant and homophobic.
Baby is doubling down on his seemingly homophobic and disturbing remarks made on stage at Rolling Loud in Miami.
Now, since then, DaBaby has still been a performer, he's still been an artist, and many have asked the question, has he learned, has he changed, and what has he learned or changed from that experience? Well, today, we're chatting to him about all of this. This is What Now with Trevor Noah. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card is issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. This episode is brought to you by CVS Health. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What's going on? Happy podcast day, everybody. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Me and Mandem's having a great time, blood. Can I tell you something? I think I'm going to move to London.
Yeah?
I'm having the time of my life. I just love it.
What part are you staying in?
All of it, blood. All of it. I got bare mans, innit? So I've been riding the tube to my shows. Which, you know what's strange? Is like everyone in London tells you to ride the tube. But then when you ride the tube, everyone asks you why you're riding the tube. Which is a very strange thing. Literally, I'm on the train every single day going to my show, and then people are like, what are you doing here? What are you doing riding the tube? And you're like, well, it's the fastest way. Yeah, but I didn't expect you to be riding the tube. Oh, that's so strange. Oh, what are you doing here? And then one guy's with me on the escalators coming up from the underground, and he goes, yo, Trev, I thought they gave you more money than to ride the subway, bruv. But I love it. It's been fun. You know, so I was in Ireland for a day. I love the Irish, man. They just have like a—I don't know what it is. They have a thing that connects them to us as South Africans.
Oppression,
really...
oppression and colonization.
You see, I wasn't going to say that, Christiana. I was looking for something more.
I love the Irish, but they've suffered, so that's why we get on. I like the Irish too.
Scotland and Ireland, I feel like it's a full. They feel like 100% my people who just live somewhere else. That's how I feel. Mm. And the Irish are the least uncomfortable with a very uncomfortable story, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
In fact, Ireland was the first place where I ever like told stories about apartheid in South Africa, because I was talking to a comedian and like some audience members. We were at a comedy festival, and one of the comedians was chatting to me, and he's like, so tell me a little bit about your life, Trevor. Like, what have you done? Where have you been? And I was like, oh, this is how I grew up, and this is what I. And he goes, my God, why aren't you talking about any of that on stage? I was like, well, because it's depressing. I'm talking about apartheid and racism. And he's like, that's the most interesting thing you've talked about, Trevor. He's like, our audiences would love to hear about that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I went on stage the next day and I told some of those stories and the audiences loved it. And so I'll always credit the Irish for, you know, being the people who encouraged me to just explore the less obviously funny parts of life and the less comfortable parts of living. Because I think, you know, that's comedy encompasses all of it. Life encompasses all of it. This podcast encompasses all of it. That's why we're here, people. That's why we're here. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, look at our guest today, DaBaby. Ooh, DaBaby. Yes, this is an interesting one. Christiana, this is how I know you are my friend, truly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that you'll roll with me and you have both a judgment and a love and an understanding for me, regardless of some of the decisions I make.
Yes. I mean, I trust it will be okay in the end. Just like I trust you'll do a good DaBaby interview, even though I have some reservations. Well, I'll roll with you on it. That's why.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Some people listening to this podcast have no clue what a DaBaby is. And if you're one of those people, I actually hope you will listen because I think it's a fascinating conversation that goes beyond his art and the music that he creates. And I think there will be parts of the conversation that'll be very tough. You know, DaBaby has not lived an easy life, nor has he grown up in an easy world. And I think he's been part of making it not easy at times. And if you do know DaBaby, some of you might love him and go like, oh, I love him and his music. And some of you might be like, oh, I cannot stand DaBaby. I hate everything he stands for. And I don't know. I've often find myself wrestling in life with the question of forgiveness, reconciliation, and the conversations that we have with people who have either wronged us or wronged quote unquote society. You know, and one of the things that interests me about DaBaby is you have someone who has definitely, I mean, he's definitely, you know, hurt people, but he seems to want to make amends, and sometimes I feel like he doesn't necessarily have the tools or the aptitude, but he has a willingness, and I'm a sucker for willingness.
Yeah, I know that about you. You're definitely a sucker for some willing, even if they're not able.
Yeah, but
I think he's, I don't know about the willing part, and I'd love to learn more. I would say that before, you know, all of his controversies, I was a big fan of DaBaby. Like, I still think he's so talented.
Yeah.
Just the music is brilliant. The music videos, just so artistic. So I came to his music as a fan. And then I think perhaps it was fame, perhaps it was environmental, but, you know, a few things happened back to back and you're just like, oh. And then, you know, it kind of culminated in the incident at Rolling Loud Festival. Yeah. Where he was quite homophobic, very publicly, even though the crowd seemed to be enjoying it, which, what was going on in that crowd? But, you know, and since then, he's kind of been a pariah, but I think he's coming back into public life. And there are some people that feel he hasn't been accountable enough.
I'm intrigued by how people get to where they are and what informs not just the decisions they make, but the people they become. And DaBaby's one of those people, because I loved what you said. You became a fan of his and then discovered things. And I sometimes wonder how many times people are or aren't given grace because we don't know what we don't know about them.
Yeah.
And then when we do discover things about them, they're lucky enough that their past or their present doesn't sort of catch up to them, you know?
Yeah. And it wasn't just his kind of comments. He also has kind of this history of violence. And I do want to say that sometimes, and this is not to absolve him for any responsibility for the things he's done, but how much is that linked to how we grew up, right? That, yeah. Is that where the violence come from? I'm curious about that, but I do think we live in a world where violent men are able to get away with things, mm-hmm. with little to no consequence. But, you know, who knows what consequences he's faced both personally and professionally because of it.
The question I would have is, how willing is he to grow? Does he want to grow? Does he need to grow? And then more interesting for me is, what is everything
that has affected him? Like what are the ingredients that have come together to create the baby and who this human being is? That's what I'm really interested to get into with the baby is, you know, who is the human being behind the actions? All right, Joe, let's jump in with the baby. Let's see how this goes. The baby, welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here. Appreciate you having me.
I think for this conversation, what I really wanted to get into is understanding you as a human being, to understand a lot about you as the artist.
Absolutely.
You know, you've had an outsized influence on the world. You know, someone who has 21 million followers just on your Instagram. But what your music has done, what you've embodied, I think goes far beyond that. And so let's start with that. I'm always intrigued by how an artist chooses their name and what that name means to them.
Absolutely.
Why DaBaby?
Well, I'm the youngest of three boys. My mom has three sons. I'm the youngest sibling out of the three sons. And not only that, like early on, I had the name Baby Jesus.
Okay.
And this is as a local artist, you know what I'm saying? But my mom didn't feel good about that name. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, they like, no, absolutely not. No, no. But I'm like, you know, my whole thing with it was like my purpose being, you know, to do for others.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And not myself. So that's my responsibility, you know what I mean, on this earth. Like,
I would love to know what your family was like and why that has been such a driving force in your life. So you were born in Cleveland.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Raised in Charlotte, North Carolina. So what, moved there when you were 7 years old?
Yep.
Was there a reason you moved? Was it good? Was it bad?
Oh, it was a great thing. I commend my mother, you know what I mean,
yeah,
for changing our environment or situation, even though Charlotte itself is a, you know, it's not a walk in the park, you know what I mean? Not at all, like not even a little bit.
What was your mom like? Like, what was she strict? Was she a disciplinarian?
Absolutely.
Was she a, yeah?
Absolutely, but also fun, loving, nurturing,
right,
you know what I mean? Like, all about her sons, like, all about her sons. I remember her email was my three sons, Linda. Like, everything is my three sons, my handsome son. She's all about just uplifting us.
So she was proud of you from the beginning.
Absolutely, especially
right,
me. Like, I got the smile like her, the two dimples. Like, I resemble her the most. My brother, don't get mad at me, to my brother. Y'all got mad at me enough growing up, but like, I'm my mother's twin. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
Sweetest woman on earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you the shoes off her feet, you know what I'm saying, if
okay,
you didn't have them, even if she didn't have another pair to put on.
How did she punish you?
Like,
if you did something
she
wrong,
whooped
what
our
it?
Ass.
She
you know what I'm saying?
Ass?
Excuse my
no,
leg.
Oh, no, no,
oh, no,
you
she,
can say anything
she
here.
Whooped our ass, you yeah, know what I'm saying, most definitely. Like,
what was the worst whipping your mom gave you?
Oh, man.
Like, I remember mine, the two that I hated the most was, I had two types of whippings that my mom would give me. One was the chasing whipping.
Mm-hmm.
That one was one where I was trying to get away, and she would just follow me. It was like a tornado coming after me. And then the other one was, I tell my mom till this day, I go, that was like it's like a war crime. She would send me outside to get a stick
to
from
pick
a tree.
A switch.
You call it a switch.
It's called a switch.
You
absolutely.
Call it a switch out here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and she would send me outside to pick my own punishment.
Absolutely.
I always said I hated being an accomplice to her crime. Everyone knows their worst. Like, what was the worst whipping that?
That was one
gave?
Of the ones that.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was always. You know, that's like adding insult to injury. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, especially when you try to find the tiniest
you
little
do.
Stick
oh,
and come
the worst,
in, and it's
though.
Like, oh no, go back. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, go back. So definitely the ones with the switch and
yeah,
the extension cord. You know, with landline phones.
Oh
the,
man,
you can hear
you
it.
The extension
the,
cord.
When you can hear it. And one thing about my mom, like, one thing she always, like, she was very adamant on, like, not feeling sorry for yourself. Like, no, like, when we used to get whoopings, like, we weren't allowed to cry. The whooping isn't over until you stop crying. You
wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, that's it. Because it's like, you know, you know right from wrong. You know what I'm saying?
How did you, I feel like everyone has a different experience of this as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know why you were being whipped and
absolutely.
And
so,
but did you think that it was right, or did you go, this is the worst thing in the which way did you go? Because I feel as there's always two types of kids.
I knew right from wrong, you know, and it kind of you know tickles me sometimes because, like, with the way that I'm perceived, you know what I mean, by the public, like, I was the good child in my house, like, you know what I'm saying, in my household I was an angel. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was an angel. So, you know, I'll say that to say, you know, like, the environment that I come from, the household I was raised in, like, every day, it was like, it was war. You know what I mean? Like, growing up was a challenge for me. You know what I'm saying?
So, let's talk about those challenges. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I grew up in South Africa. Mm-hmm. You know, we had our challenges. They're very different, and yet I find in many ways very similar.
Absolutely.
To many experiences that Black Americans had.
Absolutely.
You know, we all have our hood. Mm-hmm. We all have the dude at the corner. Mm-hmm. We all have the dice game.
Right.
We all have the shootings. We all have mm-hmm. it's strange how familiar and Absolutely. Yet how different the worlds were.
On different sides of the world.
You grew up in this world where, you know, you have a mom who, by all accounts, is religious, is driven, Absolutely. Is focused, is loving, is also a disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. She's keeping you in check. Mm-hmm. And she moves you to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're growing up in North Carolina, I've read a little on your story. I've listened to some of the interviews that you've had. Mm-hmm. It seems like you lived in a strangely hybrid world where, on the one hand, you had a few opportunities, but on the other hand, you were in the streets. And I'd love to know, mm-hmm. how did you end up in the streets? What would, like, did you find the streets or did the streets find you?
So a lot of those elements, like, that you list, like, you know, you got the hoods, the dice games, this, that, you got the alcoholics, drug addicts, all of that. One thing with me, and, you know, and I take my time speaking on this because I never discredit the superhero that my mother was and still is. You get what I'm saying? A lot of those elements, like, that, you know, most people have to go down the street to see or venture off or don't go over there, go to places their parents tell them don't go to see. They were in the household with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would be watched by my uncles, like, my uncles who are either alcoholic, drug addict.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
This or that.
Right.
Like, real deal drug addicts. Like, not, you know, like, yeah, my grandmother's house directly across the street from the crack house. That's what they call them, a crack house.
Yeah.
So it's,
damn.
It's, you know, drug addicts, prostitution, 24/7. Like, they're up 4 or 5 in the morning, they're up the entire night, out the entire day, roaming the streets. Like, a lot of these elements, they were, like, right there. But at the time, like, growing up, it just seemed completely normal to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something.
It's hard, though. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's interesting. I grew up in a very religious household.
Absolutely.
Many of the views that I held growing up were completely shaped by that religion.
For sure.
Over time, they've shifted and they've changed. Mm-hmm. But that was the core of my foundation. Mm-hmm. I also grew up in a very African household.
Right.
So those are some of the ideas that I held and I maintained. And it's interesting that you've now brought that up because, you know, you have your dad from afar giving you wisdom, you know, contributing to your life, but he is from afar.
Right.
You know, you have your mom who's working all day, all night to make your life just, you know, what it needs to be. Just
to keep roof meal, over
yeah,
head,
to keep
right.
a roof over your head.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you're in an environment where you're surrounded by drugs, violence, alcohol,
Absolutely.
You know, you can name it. I mean, people can imagine it, but when you're in it, it's a very different experience.
It's extremely different.
There are two types of responses to this. There are people who will crumble because of this, and there are people who almost they'll become galvanized by it, and they will fight within it.
Absolutely.
I feel like you're the latter. I feel like you're the kind of person who saw opportunities and saw ways to thrive within that world.
Absolutely.
What was the first moment where, this is long before you're the baby, you know? I mean, you're baby Jesus, you're the little kid in the family, you know? But
And even with that name didn't come until...
Oh, that didn't come until much later. So
much later. That wasn't a
so
childhood
So at this point, you're
name.
Still John.
Childhood, I was John John.
You're just John John.
John
okay.
John or so, Hard Chocolate was another nickname.
Hard Chocolate?
Hard Chocolate.
Okay, so you got John John or Hard Chocolate. Mm. What was the moment where the streets took you? What was that life? What were you doing? Where were you going? What, you know, there's a moment where it snaps. I remember the first time I had what was my first encounter with the police? First encounter with the police was my friends and I had, we had like a replica gun that we had with us. And we were stupid. We were thinking maybe would be, I don't even know. We were like, maybe we'll be gangsters. I don't know.
Right.
But that was like our first encounter with the police. I mean, we'd get arrested for throwing block parties that were illegal.
Right.
But you always remember your first, what was your first encounter with the police? What was it about? What was happening in your life?
I don't even know if the police were involved, but I remember I was in, I was in fourth grade, third or fourth grade, but I brought a pocket knife to school and I was showing it off to some girl.
You know I brought a pocket knife. I got expelled for bringing a knife to school.
I'm so glad they didn't expel me.
I got expelled.
They suspended me for a day.
That is wild.
I showed it to a girl and she told on me. They suspended me for a day.
Oh, I got expelled for that one.
They didn't. The knife was already gone when she told them. Thank God she waited probably to the end of the day to tell them, because I probably would have got expelled too. But and that would have messed up my little school record, because I was straight A's like all the way until like high school. I mean, nothing less than a B for sure. I didn't get a C till maybe high school.
You know what? That is one of the paradoxes. So I don't know what it was like growing up where you grew up. Mm-hmm. Where we grew up, I found there was a conflict. There was a clash between the streets and school.
Right.
If you did well in school, guys would be like, you're goofy. Mm-hmm. Guys would say, mm-hmm. you're a punk. Guys would,
right.
And so there was almost this element of you don't want to do well because you don't want to be perceived as somebody, you know, mm-hmm. who somebody can step up on, somebody who can be, you know, taken advantage of. You are a strange mix in that, because you were proud of your straight A's, but you're in the streets as well. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a moment where violence came into your world?
Like, it was there. It existed.
Oh, this is just a daily thing.
Time. Violence was in my world. Was in my world as when I'm three or four. Like I see, like my it's in the household. Like I see my uncles fighting each other. My brothers. You know what I mean? Like with me, like every day. Like it was like that. Like, you know, I was the baby boy. Like I was the one. They'd lock me in the closet, bang on the doors, act like Jason's here, the boogeyman's here, these types of things. Like I used to piss in the bed because I was scared to get up to go to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Like it was that type of thing. Right. We're all sharing a room, but violence is, it was very much there. Like while my mom's out working all these long, hard hours, like my brother, he's probably 10 at the time. 20, 30 older kids in the house, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Did you ever see a dead body growing up?
I've definitely been around shootings and all that for sure. The first time death probably was around me, a certain situation had happened with one of my family members. And I just remember it like it was yesterday, that we were like sat down and told, when you go to school, because we're little kids.
Yeah.
You don't speak about this to nobody. You don't ever bring this up to anybody. I literally never have. You know what I'm saying? Like to this day, you know what I mean? But that's the first time I remember it. And I had to be maybe like, I think I was in middle school. I don't think I was in elementary school. I think I was in middle school, but it was early in middle school.
Yeah.
Had to be like sixth grade, seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Sixth grade, seventh grade.
Do you think you had a full comprehension of what that was?
No, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew exactly what that was. But just in terms of violence, like...
Were you scared ever?
I was scared all the time. Huh. Every day. But as a child, you know what I mean? Like, my mom's not at home. And then, you know, like, elementary school kids, they get out of school first.
Yeah.
So I had a house key at, like, age six. Like, I'd let myself in, you know what I mean? Like, I'd come home and let myself in. A six-year-old, you know what I'm saying? When I look at my daughter right now, being 6 years old, I'm like, wow, like...
I can't believe I was going through that.
Oh, for sure. And like I say, it didn't feel like I was going through anything. It did. It very much did. But it didn't. Like, this was just the norm. I don't know anything outside of this. You know what I'm saying? But I say that to say, like, you know, when my brothers would come home shortly after, they come in, go right back outside. They leave me.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? They go right back outside. So I'm in the house. Like, that's probably one of the reasons why I'm just so self-sufficient. I had to be. You know what I mean? Like, I had to be. Like, I had no choice. You know
right. There are many moments where you're raising yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm feeding myself. I'm making my own food. You know what I mean? All that. And one of my uncles, they have a story that they tell us where, because one of my uncles doesn't do drugs, right? Mm-hmm. Hardcore drugs. He drinks. Doesn't do hardcore drugs. But where he tried to, beat one of my other uncles with a baseball bat because he had me with them in a crack house smoking crack. Like, he had me with them. I was like one.
Damn.
2 years old. You get what I'm saying? Like, these types of things. Like, that's what I come from. And it also helps me understand why I'm set up the way I'm set up as a person. You know what I'm saying?
That's fascinating that you have that level of self-awareness to understand how much of you has been shaped by the world that you were in.
And that's newly, these are all things that I'm beginning to notice, like within the couple of years, know what I'm saying? I notice most of this stuff when I come sit down with people because I've never been to therapy.
Is therapy that allowed in hip hop?
I mean, several people recommend it too. I believe it's something that would be like extremely healthy for me. That's why I like, you know, I always lean towards like interviews, especially like early on, like when I first popped in the mainstream. And when I sit down with somebody, you'll get so much more out of me than probably like the average person, because it's like, you know, I'd walk out of the interviews like, damn, like those are stories I've been waiting to tell. I almost forgot about them. Like,
you've buried them, and then you wait for somebody to ask you.
That's what I did. Right. I buried it. All those memories, like, that's what I did. Like, so I know how to like bury things.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me ask you this: as somebody who grew up in a household, and I'm speaking about myself now, mm-hmm. I grew up in a household where, you know, there was a lot of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. I grew up around.
I was around plenty of that.
I grew up
plenty.
Around, you know, uncles who were violently drunk. You know, you see it. You go through phases. You're afraid. Mm-hmm. You're terrified. You freeze. You know, everything you're speaking about, I can relate to. Mm-hmm. And there's also one emotion that you don't realize you're having because you don't have the power to have it, and that is anger.
Right. Right. Suppressed anger.
I can only imagine there was a lot of suppressed anger inside you.
For sure.
Because you are the baby. There's a lot of the time you don't have control.
Yeah, you got sibling rivalry too. That's a whole different category.
Right. So you're dealing with just brothers on their own, but now you're also dealing with uncles, you're dealing with the streets, you're dealing with a world that
brothers who are angry about this same world that I'm living in, but they're actually older than me and able to process it. So it's hitting them. You know what I mean? Even harder than it's hitting me.
How did your anger manifest
without
itself?
The support of a father?
Uh-huh.
That's the difference too. Like, I'm the baby boy, and I'm the one whose father is in his life at a distance.
Okay. So your brothers didn't have that?
No.
Growing up,
like, you can see, like, you see the difference between me and my brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that
my
was the
oldest
defining
brother
factor?
Committed suicide in 2020.
Damn.
So when you say, like, I remember, you know, maybe like 5 minutes ago in the conversation, when you say, you know, like, some people, they crumble or you know, these types of elements in their environment and just their upbringing destroys them. Like, you see the difference, like, between, you know what I mean, how mm-hmm. I dealt with it and you know, like, what I was able to, blessed enough to be able to turn it into, as opposed to, you know, like, it ultimately being like my brother's demise, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Do you think your dad was the defining factor?
Absolutely.
You think that made the difference?
Absolutely.
What do you think it was about your dad being in your life, even from a distance, mm-hmm. that made the difference?
Just always just putting something on my mind and just showing me something different, like, always, like, always. And I don't, you know, I'm a keep having to, like, go back to saying, like, I can't discredit, like, the job that my mother did.
No,
she did
course,
amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she also has to allow him to be able to do that. Like, the mother has to make a way for that to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has to. She has to. No, call your father right now. You get what I'm saying? Like, she.
Tell me a little bit
about. Because at times I'd stray away from it. Like, I wouldn't.
Tell me a little bit about your dad, though. What was his life?
He was
what
in
was
the
he
army.
Doing? He was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He went to the army when I was born.
Oh, this mm-hmm. is interesting.
So he was
okay.
in the army for like 10 years straight until he like injured his foot. You know what I mean? So he was at all those wars, Afghanistan, Iraq. I'd get the pictures of him. I used to love the pictures of him with the guns.
And uh-huh.
I'd show him off, have him on my wall in my room. I used to write him. That's why I'm such a good writer. I'd write him letters back and forth when he was in the army. He's really at war. I had to communicate with him through letters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he'd write me. I'd write him back as a child. Like, he'd tell my mom, let him write me. I'd write him back. He'd like grade my papers like an English professor. Mm-hmm. Like redline it. You know what I'm saying? Like, have a... you know, like punctuation corrections, everything all throughout the paper. And he wouldn't even let me like use slang. And he's from that too. He's from Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
Like, so he's,
but he wanted
I mean?
You
yes.
to be more.
When I'm
he
with
be,
him,
yeah.
you know, he'll relax a little bit more with it. And you know what I mean? But while I'm over here,
uh-huh.
on my mom's side, because it's a whole different, you know, yeah, it's a completely different cloth over here.
Yes, ma'am. Like, yes, sir.
He's very adamant on just making sure. And it made the world of a difference. You know what I'm saying?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Your music career is public. Your music career is well known. You know, so I won't delve into that too much. What I'd love to understand is behind the scenes.
Right.
As DaBaby, you start blowing up. Mm-hmm. Your music starts growing. You start building up a fan base. You start making money. You start experiencing success. Mm-hmm. What confuses me is how violence still stays a part of your world.
Absolutely.
You know, it this is something I've learned changes depending on where you're from and the hood that you're in. It's like, is how you respond to conflict and how conflict is expected to be dealt with.
Absolutely.
You know, so
that's the
right. So in South Africa, for instance, Africa, we have different hoods. You know, so we had like Alexandra was one township, and then Soweto is where my grandmother's from, and you have Tembisa, etc. And we'd even know, we'd go like, oh, cats from that hood, they'll stab you
for sure.
Cats from this hood will break a bottle on your head. Cats from this hood will shoot you. Like we'll even say like those guys shoot, those guys stab, those guys. But you almost know what type of violence is either expected or probably going to happen to you in those worlds. It feels like the world you were in was a gun environment, right?
It was all the above.
It was all of the above.
Absolutely.
So when you're growing up, do you think to yourself, all right, there is only one way I can defend myself? Do you know that there is an ultimate conclusion, or like how does DaBaby exist in this world, trying to be you whilst acknowledging that you're still in Charlotte and you're still, because you're successful now, you're an artist.
This is DaBaby, like this is, and early on, like
Not as a child, but as an adult.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one night I was getting ready to go to the club. I didn't go. Everybody else went. I'm like, I'm tired. I'm asleep. I hear the door gate. I don't even know this until after the fact. I hear people screaming. That's what I feel like woke me up when I jumped up. I hear people screaming, where is that? Get down. Where is that? Shit like that. You know what I mean? And I immediately grab my gun, come out around the corner. It's like six people with masks and guns. You know what I'm saying? They're looking through the boxes. I had like different posters with different pictures. Like I had all my promo material out like in the front.
Yeah.
It's like a condo type of apartment where it has stairs in it. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? You can come in the garage from the top, but you don't know that if you come through the front door down here.
Yep.
That type of situation. Maybe 3-4 bedrooms. Me and my brother were both staying there. And I come around the corner. It's like maybe, like 6 people, you know what I mean, with masks on. This is like, you know, 2 in the morning. 2-3 in the morning, maybe like 6 people with masks on and guns creeping around the corner. Some of them looking through the boxes with the posters. The closest person when I turned the corner was as close as me and you are.
Damn.
Yeah, when I turned the corner, wielding a gun, you know what I'm saying? Like creeping, like having it down low. I'm the same way when I turn the corner. Boom, shoot, spin back around the corner because I'm completely outgunned. Like it's, like I immediately see, you know, as soon as I turn the corner, it's several bodies in here, all in all black, all got masks on, all of them got guns. I turn the corner, shots just rang, boom, 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 boom. I go out through the top and open the garage to where, because of the side street to where you can walk through the grass or the little sidewalk, get to the front door. If I come up through the top and I come out the garage, if I look to the left, it's literally like right there. I just have to cut through some grass and it's right there. And I can hear them, you hit somebody, and they jump in the car, pull off. You know what I mean? That's the first shooting incident, but whatever. Like it's Charlotte, it's normal.
Whoa. You say, but whatever. And this is sort of what I'm trying to understand and what I'm trying to get to is, I hear your but whatever, but it's also not whatever. Do you know what I mean? What I mean by this is, like a few things. One, you know, you hear the commotion, you hear what's going on, you grab your gun. What I wonder sometimes whether you think about your life, because I try and think this about my life, and I think many of us don't, is how abnormal some of our normal actually is.
Absolutely.
You know, the fact that you think there's a possibility this is happening, you know? Right. Right. The baby's not walking down the stairs going like, hello, is anybody there?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
The fact that you're
going,
I knew.
You're immediately going,
when I tell this story,
I know what it
is.
I
feel like God woke me up and put my hand on my gun.
Well,
like,
there you go.
Get out there type.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That tells me the kind of world that you're living
Absolutely.
In to think that that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that you then go through the motions the way you do tells me that this is a world where you believe that it's a possibility.
Absolutely. Day in and day out.
Once, let's say post that event, there's trauma, there's fear, there's everything. Obviously, you have the fight or flight. So fight kicks in first.
Yes.
But there's got to be a moment where you go, I'm not safe, or there's got to be like...
The bullets, the return gunfire just missed me. You know what I'm saying? It just missed me. I feel like the difference with me, like I don't, you know, it in terms of how do I deal with violence as opposed to how people expect me to deal with violence. Like, you know, in my upbringing, it's like your only option is to... You know, defend yourself.
Right. So you have this world where you genuinely believe, and maybe validly so, that anytime anything can happen, anyone
Absolutely.
Can step up to you, anyone wants to test you, anyone. This is an environment that
you not even necessarily test like.
And so what I'm trying to understand and trying to get to in your world is sort of an understanding of this, because you see what you just said now is interesting. It is not a test. You're dealing with very real situations.
Absolutely.
Do you, in this moment in time, do you feel like you're a safe individual? Do you feel like you're beyond it now?
Never.
No?
Like I can walk outside right now and anything can happen to anybody.
But who would the anything be, and who would the anybody? And I mean this honestly.
There's no way. Like, I'd have no way of knowing. You know what I mean? Like, I'd literally have no way of knowing.
But would it be the streets coming back, or would it be what? Like, what is it?
What makes somebody do something wrong? It doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with you. You know what I mean? Somebody could be having a bad day and, you know, and step and trip over your foot accidentally on the way in the store. And
the next thing you know,
because they
it's
turn
on.
Around and kill you. It turns into, you know what I mean, a fight or a life or death situation. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this, though. Based upon what you see is a beautiful segue to this question.
Mm-hmm.
You are a parent, and you're a proud parent.
Absolutely.
You talk about being a father.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about what it means
to
you.
It's my favorite thing to be.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a valid argument that it is about the environment and it is the world that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
What is the world that you want to see that you're creating for your child? Like what is that world? How different... Or how do you make that world different? You know, because I'm assuming you don't want your daughter knowing that as a reality. I'm assuming you don't want your daughter thinking of that as a possibility.
Not necessarily.
You want her to be aware of it, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. And that's the word I was going
right.
to use. Like, it's just being aware of the world that she exists in, which she already is. Like, when I got into the situation and a guy was shot and killed in Walmart by me, my daughter was right there. She's right there, 1 year old.
How did she process that?
She didn't. She didn't. She probably doesn't even remember it. Her older brother definitely probably remembers it. You know what I'm saying? She's one, so he had to be, five at the time?
Yeah.
He's her age. He was a year younger than what she is now. If she saw it now, she'd definitely remember it. Like,
right,
it was just
right.
Mm-hmm. It's completely traumatizing. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
How do you speak to your kids about that? You know, what do you say after that situation? For real?
I don't. Now, immediately after, I just pay very close attention to them. You know what I mean? I've definitely had a conversation with their older brother. My daughter wasn't even really talking at the time. She was, but it's like,
But with your son, though, what's the conversation?
It's just more so just checking on him, seeing how he... himself processed it, not telling him how to process it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, not telling him how to process it. And, you know, thank God he was one aisle over from me and he didn't actually see it.
Right.
So he hears boom, 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 and sees an entire, you know, a Walmart store evacuate.
Yeah.
You know, a fire alarm's going off, the little siren going off, like he sees it. You know what I mean? He sees mayhem. He hears the conversations immediately after when I come back over to check on them.
Yeah.
Like, he sees it all. You know what I mean? He hears. He's very aware. Like, he hears people talk about it, of course. Like,
so then if, with, like, what happened in Walmart? Like, what?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what I attempted to do originally, was de-escalate a situation with my words, but that isn't, you know, what the opposing side of the situation, that isn't what they wanted. They had different intentions, and that, you know, that just goes back to, like, what I'm saying. Like, you never know. Like, I'm in Walmart buying diapers and you know,
but you don't know this person, like, right?
No, hell no. From a can of paint, I'm in Walmart just buying, shopping. Do they know kids, you? Baby shampoo, shit like that. Absolutely. Yeah, they know me from being the rapper from our city. Like, the rapper,
okay,
that's in our city.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that altercation starts off because this person is
curious as to what they see, you know, somebody that has something going on, you know, like, from the environment I'm from, the city I'm from, like,
yeah,
the person who has something going on, it's like, fuck him. Like, he, like, it's immediately, I remember seeing, like, a Biggie interview where he's like, yeah, growing up, like, we'd see the person drive by with, like, the nice car,
yeah,
and the jury, and it's, fuck that nigga, I kill that nigga. Like, yeah, that's how it is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people, you know, they target, you know, success. A lot of people with nothing to gain.
Uh-huh.
Like, I remember the media, like, when it happened, like, reports were flying around saying that they attempted to rob me. They didn't. It was never a robbery. It wasn't, you know, I had nothing to rob me for.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a robbery attempt at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was a, I don't know, an ego thing, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know.
But this,
that,
but this,
if they wanted to test me,
that's like, what we, that's
yes,
what
that's
I mean.
What it was. It
that's
was a
what
test.
I mean.
Like, you know,
right,
people see, you know, a person admired, you know, a certain way or perceived a certain way, and they want to test it. They want to know, okay, what makes this? And what I think it is, you know what I mean? Is it's like, why do they deserve what they're working towards? I don't
right.
even have it yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, it's not at the same level, but I found it exists in all professions.
Mm-hmm.
Comedians, what we experience is people always try to test out funny. I know this is
absolutely
ridiculous,
absolutely,
but people try and test out funny. They
right.
go, let me see if I can make him a fool. Let me see
absolutely.
If I can make... So I'll go out, I'll be at a restaurant, mm-hmm. People will do the stupidest things. Sometimes
right.
it's the person serving, sometimes it's the person who's at a restaurant. They go, let me act the fool in their life because I want to see if I can out fool. And I
exactly.
go, but that's not what I do.
That's
right?
not what I do. Right?
I've seen this happen to, you know, like soccer players. Someone will see them in the street and go, oh, I have a ball. Let me go
throw
and see if I can. Yeah, let me see if I can throw it in front of the ground and see if I can.
Yeah, like.
But what's interesting is hip hop is one of the few professions and worlds where it is tied to something that is a lot more real
absolutely.
And a lot more dangerous. So
absolutely.
The test that I'm getting the test of a fool. I'm getting the test of a joker.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting the test of a gangster. Or
you see,
you get what I'm saying? Like
that's a difficult thing about hip hop
mm-hmm.
that I think a lot of people don't understand. And while I don't condone it, I don't like it, but I go, it's a very real thing.
It's very real.
You know, it's very much.
It's
you
dangerous
take,
to
you take
not know how
top.
Real it is. It's
yeah,
dangerous to not know. You know what I mean? Yeah,
there you go.
It cost several rappers their life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Time and time again. So.
Right. I'm going to ask you a question that may be ignorant, but I know a lot of people will ask it
mm-hmm.
because they're not familiar with the world. A lot of people would say, but DaBaby, why don't you leave that world? Why don't you go live in another neighborhood
right.
and just escape it all? There's
mm-hmm.
no shootings in Westchester, DaBaby.
Right.
There's no shootings in my part of Connecticut. Why don't you escape that world? How would you respond to that question?
I hadn't made it out of the city yet.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
well,
you know
there
what
you
saying?
Go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
When those situations
well,
took place, like, I hadn't made it out of the city. But, you know, to put it into perspective, like, I've been, you know, in the middle of shooting incidents on Collins Avenue in Miami Beach.
I hear you.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
you.
That
yeah.
is where you want to move to. Like,
uh-huh,
and that's
uh-huh.
what I'm saying. Like, it's like you never know, you know, when
right.
violence is right there in front of you. Like,
yeah.
you just simply don't know. It's all about the type of day somebody's having or the way. It's more so about how you move throughout these different environments.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about. It's about knowing how to move no matter, you know, where
right.
you're at. You know, but when you have the magnifying glass on you that artists or entertainers have, especially
yeah.
rappers, right?
Hip-hop right.
artists. You know, it comes with the world of people who feel like that is for this type of person, what makes him deserve that, and
mm-hmm.
and they immediately, you know, they feel entitled to what you have going on, or entitled to, they feel entitled to the idea of you having to go through everything they're going through in order to exist in that space. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and that's where you get situations where, like, people are willing to come, you know, approach a guy with his two kids and their mother in a grocery store in Walmart.
Right.
You know what I mean? With no intent. Like, you know, it'd make more sense to me if they thought I had a large amount of money on me, mm-hmm. or some jewelry, mm-hmm. and they were attempting to rob me. This guy just died for nothing. You get what I'm saying? Because his friend, and that's what I'm saying, it's about knowing how to move. And a lot of times it's about the people that you got with you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because that guy died for his friend that night. Because his friend approached me. You know what I'm saying? His friend was the catalyst of the situation.
Well, were you sad that he lost his life, knowing, because it feels like you have a certain level of understanding for his world.
It was sad, but yeah, it was definitely sad. Was I sad? I can't sit here and honestly say I was sad. Uh-huh. I became more aware of, you know, I was reminded once again, it was more like, you know, reassurance that, hey, you never know what's going to happen. And you have to, you know, be prepared. Had I not been prepared, had I not been, you know, legally possessing a firearm, you mm-hmm. get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, had I not been prepared, like, I would have had a gun pulled out on me. My 1-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. her 4-year-old brother, mm-hmm. their mother. And then I would have just been at the mercy of however they're feeling or whatever they decide to do.
Right.
And these are people who clearly don't walk around making good decisions. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? But that's what I would have been left with, you know. And but ultimately, you know, most importantly, I would have been left with the responsibility to protect my family in that situation.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
It's what you said about moving between worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You said you move from one world to another,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that you don't understand the other world.
Right.
And there's a level of ignorance that you move into it with. DaBaby blows up in hip hop,
mm-hmm.
becomes an icon, becomes somebody who's setting trends. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just a music maker, you're a trend creator.
Mm-hmm.
You then accelerate that growth into a world where you are now on mainstream media, the SNLs, you know, the Rolling Stones, you're on covers. The Grammys with me.
You know what I mean?
You're in this world.
6 nominations. Like,
doing your thing, right? And all of that comes to a halt, or a lot of it, because not all of it really, mm-hmm. a lot of it comes to a halt when one day you're on stage and in the middle of a performance, you start saying things to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about AIDS and gay people, and I mean, you just, as I would say it with friends, if I was talking colloquially, I'd be like just shooting off at the mouth, just, you know,
right.
you just going, and that sets into effect a series of dominoes.
Oh, immediately.
You know? You didn't show up today with HIV, AIDS, any of them deadly sexual transmitted diseases that'll make you die 2-3 weeks, put a cell phone light in the air. Fellas.
Lights up.
Fellas, if you ain't sucking dick in the parking lot, put your cell phone lights up.
Let's be real about this shit.
Yeah, keep it fucking real.
So let's break this down in steps and in stages. You know, because when things are happening to us, they often happen so fast that we cannot process what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from the public's point of view, oftentimes people consume something and then there's another story and then you move on and there's no real processing of anything.
Right.
So let's start with the actual incident. You're on stage,
mm-hmm.
you know, you go into this moment with the audience where you're saying these things.
Mm-hmm.
What was your intention in that moment?
Just to have everybody do exactly what they did, just to put their cell phone lights up and, you know, create a transitional moment in, you know, in my set, in my performance.
But why
that
do you,
was it.
Why do you think you said what you said? Where do you think it came from?
I mean, I said it so naturally and without any ill intent, but at the same time, like, you know, on hindsight, definitely. And it didn't even have to be that far behind for it to be on hindsight. Like,
yeah.
I learned immediately, like, you know, I'm speaking, I'm speaking the way I'm speaking, ignorant to the way that it'll be perceived with me being the person who I've grown and worked to be. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like it because, you know, it's not, like I say, it's completely unintentional. Like, and not once did I even mention, you know, a gay person. Like, I didn't even say anything about a gay person. I'd mention, if you don't have AIDS, fellas, I said, if you didn't perform oral sex on somebody in the parking lot,
right,
put a cell phone light up. All of these are just things to, you know, to somewhat get you, not somewhat, to very much so get you to just put a cell phone light up. And which literally everybody did. Like, I don't, you know.
So this, everybody, you see, now this is what I'm trying to get.
Everybody there.
That's what, exactly. So this is what I'm, this is what I'm trying
disconnect,
to get.
But I'm,
yes,
I'm
exactly
just in a space to where, like, I'm not right, like, making excuses for it.
No, no.
And, like, and I just feel like I just should have been so much more aware of the fact, first of all, that it's being live streamed and
right,
just,
right,
and you know that this can potentially be used as you know, used as a vessel to just paint my character or assassinate my character or just paint it a certain way, you know what I mean? And that's uh-huh, just, it wasn't what it was. But in terms of, like, how I responded to, and I think that was more detrimental than what I said itself.
Yeah.
The way I responded to the backlash that yeah, I got, you know what I mean? The early backlash,
right,
the first wave
right,
of it, like, I kind of, like, took it as a joke. Like, this got to be a joke. You know what I'm uh-huh, saying? Like, I'm like, this can't be. Like, y'all don't think, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, this is just another attempt to, you know what I mean, for the media to, you know, to knock me off of this pedestal that uh-huh, they feel like I'm on. Me,
right,
this felt minuscule to me. Like, this didn't feel like something that needed to be, you know, responded to from a place of me being worried. Like, I felt like, the second I say, no, that's not what I meant, like, that should have been understood and boom. Or if you were there, you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they
should.
Well, let's
take a step back then, yeah, maybe, and go through each thing.
Okay.
If you have grown up in hip hop, I will be honest. I will be a person who says this, and maybe this will now bounce back on me. But
hopefully
I'll be honest.
Not.
No, but I'll say this. In hip hop, there's a lot of language that is used. There are a lot of ideas that are used that
absolutely
is like, it's like surface level. And we have to admit, is also homophobic. There's a lot of homophobia and racism. And I'm not trying to make you solve all of that. I want to talk
right,
to DaBaby,
sure,
not
sure,
everybody about everything,
mm-hmm,
right? Because I think you're one individual who is part of something.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't deny, you know, whether it's, you know, black community in Africa and in North America. And I mean, even the white community, I mean, you know, it's oftentimes black people get singled out,
mm-hmm,
but I feel like homophobia is something that has been rampant throughout time and then slowly has been evolving over the past maybe two decades, really, in our lifetimes. You look
mm-hmm
at from the 80s to now, there's been a huge jump and it's still not complete.
Absolutely.
But in that moment, it feels like to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like to me, you're on stage, you're saying something that feels reflexively funny. And just like engaging with the audience that they're, because as you said, they engage with you, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. They engage with you in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're having a good time. It does go outside of that bubble,
mm-hmm,
right? And as you said now, you're aware of the context outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
People then say to you, DaBaby, you're homophobic. DaBaby, you hate gay people. Why would you parrot these ideas? You
know, it was that
people,
part.
People speak out. People speak
right
out. I understand you were offended. I understand that you were hurt. Nobody wants to be labeled as something that they don't see themselves as.
Mm-hmm.
But was there also a part of you that understood why people were saying that?
At the time, no.
Okay.
Like, I literally was, you know, I literally did not understand. I made it clear that I
yeah
didn't understand. You get
yeah
what I'm saying? Like, because it's, you know, in my videographer that works very close to me, right, he was going through just hard drives. I've been recording my entire journey since I've got serious about
right,
it.
Right.
And he's like, bro, I'm watching it, and you said the same thing before at a show. Like, I said it before at a show, right,
right,
when I'm on tour, but I'm
uh-huh
not the top streaming artist in the world. I'm not
yeah
the top streaming
yeah
rapper in the world
right
at the time. You get
mm-hmm
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's the difference. Like, I got a completely new world of people who look up to me, you
yeah
get what I'm saying,
yeah,
who support
no
me, you know what I mean, who buy my music, you know what I mean, who, you know, they're like, they literally look up to, I'm probably what they put, my music has probably helped them get through certain situations, you
right
know what I'm saying,
right,
what have you, you know what I mean, and I'm unaware of that, you know what I'm saying, I'm aware of it, but I'm unaware of the way that, you know, certain things that I would normally say that wouldn't even, you know, not even normally say, like, that's, you know.
No, no, no. But I think look, and
something that I would say and look
yeah,
at is like,
but
okay,
I,
no,
but
that's
I mean
normal.
This, and I think
I
think
like
we have to be
offended.
I think we have to be honest about that's Absolutely. Why that's why I think we won't get far, and not just the two of us, but I think in society, the reason I don't think we get far with a lot of these conversations is because we're not honest enough,
right?
About so. To say that DaBaby is an outlier, I think, is a dishonesty.
Right.
But to say that what DaBaby did is good is not. It's like, it for me, it becomes a symptom. It goes like, oh, shit, that thing now got exposed to the world.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, all right.
Right.
DaBaby showed a little bit of his world to the outside world,
right.
A bigger world than he normally does, mm-hmm. And now he's dealing with those ramifications. It sounds to me like you are stepping into a world where you're understanding this.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Now, for sure.
But now,
sure.
Here's the thing I want to know from you on a personal level. And mm-hmm. And maybe it's too personal. And if it is, forgive me. But like, do you think that your experiences since then have helped you understand? Do you feel like you're becoming more tolerant? Do you think you've been more defensive? Like, this is just you as a human being. I'd love to know how you've mm-hmm. responded to the criticism or how you felt. Like, as DaBaby, what do you want to be more of now that you're on the other side of that, you know?
What do I want to be more? So which, so you
Cause you're saying you didn't think,
because
you're
first,
saying
like,
you
so.
Didn't think it was homophobic at the time when you said
yeah,
this, right?
Yeah, yeah,
right?
For sure,
and,
but,
and you said then,
mm-hmm.
but you said now, you
yeah,
you,
it, and it didn't even take all the way up until now. Like, even, you know, over a year ago, I'm like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
When I see, you know, like when I see, you know, like how detrimental it was to my career and my journey and everything that I worked that hard for, like, it, just when I see the amount of manpower being put behind, you know what I'm saying? Like, just shining
but do you see how
light on this narrative, I
right.
see, like, wait, no, that was in what I say is impactful. Like,
but what I'm saying,
I mean?
Is, do you see the impact that it has on members of the gay community who
yeah,
many of
absolutely.
Them are fans of yours?
Like
do you also see that?
Absolutely. Like, I see it. You know what I'm saying? I see it. And you know, all together, like, I'm ignorant to the fact at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, I'm ignorant to the fact. First of all, it's, you know, I didn't intend to offend anybody. That's
right.
The first step. And then, you know, once I did, okay, understand, okay, wait, I offended people, I'm ignorant to, like, you know, how I offended them. I know you're offended. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
immediately after, you get what
that's
I'm saying?
That's interesting.
And I know I didn't mean that, but, like, how much I offended them, or, like, how impactful, like, you know, the something that I say is, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean, at this level that I've worked. And that's the thing. I didn't wake up and they're like, okay, look, you're a role model. You're the face of hip-hop right
mm-hmm.
now. Like, I was
mm-hmm.
literally damn near the face of hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like, I wasn't aware of how impactful, like, my words can be. Because I say, and you know, and this is not an excuse, this isn't me deflecting or anything, but, like, that on that stage, I also said something about probably a shooting or this or that,
mm-hmm,
but that
mm-hmm.
wasn't, you know, like, that's not perceived that way. You
right.
get what I'm saying? So
right.
it's kind of like, that's just me offering, like, an example of how somebody can get why I didn't immediately
right,
get
so,
how.
So actually, let's
you
go
know
into
what I'm
that, because that is interesting. Do you feel like people take the shooting, let's say if you talk about shootings or if you talk about, you know, anything like violence or anything like that, do you think people take that with a grain of salt, but then they take the homophobia as being truth? Like,
yeah,
they go like,
yeah,
oh, these,
yeah.
or, and I won't even put homophobia on you. Like, they'll go like, oh, those statements, they go like, that's your truth. But then the other stuff is you just messing around. Is that what you say you feel?
Absolutely. That's what I know. I mean, that's, you know, I'm a walking example of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, it's okay for me to say these types of things, but this is like, hell no. Like, I wouldn't dare
right.
even say anything remotely close to it now, like, in private or public. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, my entire world was shifted by that. You know what I mean?
The public knows oftentimes how it wants to flog somebody. The public
mm-hmm.
knows how it wants to punish somebody.
Right.
I find the public doesn't often know how it wants to reconcile with somebody.
Right.
I would like to know from your perspective, A, do you feel like people engaged with you on a level, and this is like everybody from inside the industry, from outside, do you feel like people engaged with you on a level human to human where they helped you understand? And then B, do you feel like there was ever a path to redemption for you to, like, change and grow? Or do you feel like it was DaBaby, you're cut off, this is who you are, and you're done?
The latter of the two, for sure. I feel like it was more so like a no, you're done, you know what I'm saying, type of thing. Now, the difference is, like, you know, you got one or two decisions to make to let, you know what I mean, a mistake define you, or to, you know, put in the work necessary to, you know, change the narrative bits and pieces at a time, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. It's, you know, I don't feel entitled to, and this goes back to earlier in our conversation, it's a beautiful thing. I was always taught to never look for sympathy, never look to make somebody feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
Like, so that just goes to, like, my reaction to it taking, you know, the turn that it did, you know, the turn for the worst that it did. Like, I have had it instilled in me that, you know, you don't make people feel sorry for you. You know what I mean? No matter what you go through.
No, I hear you there.
And that can, you know, almost, like, heighten, you know, people can look at that as ignorance or arrogance, as opposed to me just being, you know, the person that I was raised to be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That I have to go through experiences like that to understand, okay, look, sometimes you might need to do that immediately.
Uh-huh.
You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I know that now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I learned something new.
In a way, it's like you took the whipping, essentially.
Oh, yeah,
you
for sure. Like, I'm going to, right. Like, when I used to get whoopings, I couldn't cry. It doesn't stop until stop crying. You keep crying, boom, boom, but stop crying. Like, so this is what, you know, like when I get a whoop, like, I take my lick and I carry on. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's what I do. And in that situation, that was looked at as a, he doesn't care. He's that much worse of a person, like that type of thing. You get what I'm saying? When it's really like, you know, I care enough to keep going. Like, that's what somebody has to understand. Like, that's, you know, it's very few that care the way I care.
Well, that's what
ends people. Like, they'll never be sitting across the table from
and that's,
you.
Exactly,
after
and that's
the fact.
That's actually you see, it's funny you said that, because that's exactly what I said to the team. Is I said, what intrigues me about DaBaby is this: he has every opportunity to stay immersed in a world that will fully accept everything that he has done.
Absolutely,
and yet he keeps on insisting on trying to both explain, reconcile, and deal with what has happened, and that intrigues me. And so now you've explained that to me as a person. Before I let you go, though, I'd love to know where you go from here. What now? You know, you know, summer came around.
Mm-hmm.
You had a song on the Billboard Hot 100. You know, you're still making good music. You're still a fantastic artist.
Thank you so much.
You know, I hope for you as a human being, genuinely, that you'll continue to grow. I do think you should look into therapy.
No, for sure.
From one brother to another.
No, for sure.
I promise you it'll change. And
for
your kids.
It's something I've been on. I've
so
been,
can I,
you know,
I'll, leaning towards. I'll share this with you real quick before I ask you about the future. Is so my mother was shot by my stepfather, right? She survived, thank God. But one of the biggest things I regretted, and I always talk to my mom about this, is the fact that myself and my two younger brothers never went to therapy to deal with it.
Right.
My youngest brother was, I don't know, maybe 6 years old when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakenly, my mom thought he doesn't fully process and understand it.
How old were you?
I was in my 20s.
Okay.
I was in my 20s. Maybe even touching 30. Yeah, but 20s, I think, late 20s. And then the middle brother, the one who drove my mom to the hospital, he was a teenager at the time. And one of my greatest regrets is that we didn't know at the time how powerful and impactful therapy could be in helping us not just deal with, but unearth some of the traumas that we hadn't dealt with.
For sure.
You know, some of the angers, some of the fears, some of the, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it don't get me wrong, it's a scary thing, it's a crazy thing. And also, therapy has a stigma attached to it, you know? But I personally, as a human being, I would encourage it for you, and especially your kids, because you seem like the kind of dad who wants them to have 10 times what you had. You know, you want her to have all the A's.
Yes.
I honestly believe that. And so I'd love to know where you go from here. What now for DaBaby?
So professional with me, the next step would definitely be venturing into film and television, for sure. That's something I've been passionate about from the get-go, really from the beginning, maybe even before the music, you know what I'm saying? And you know, what I bring, it's like the same thing that gives me somewhat of, I won't even say the upper hand, but a different perspective or an interesting perspective that can't be found anywhere else is my life experiences that I've been able to, you know what I mean, navigate through. And these are like a lot of the things that I implement in like my music videos from day one, you know, all the way until now, to where I have other artists and major labels reaching out to me to direct videos for, you know what I mean, artists that are signed to major labels and things of that nature. You know, I got people who will who have, like, you know, the top rated, you know, television shows and, you know, filmmakers, like, they can't wait for me to, you know, give them, you know, what I got going on inside of this brain of mine, you know. So that's what I'm on. And not only that, like, just solidifying a safe space for my kids to, you know, somewhat, because they're, I mean, my kids have pretty much been born into this, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just they've been around it. Like, my daughter can direct, you let her make a TikTok, like, her perspective is just, like, she's amazing, you know what I mean? She's musically inclined, like, you know, like, it's just amazing. Like, she's an amazing, amazing little girl. But it's just, you know, making sure that while I'm here, which I've been doing from day one, but, you know, literally, like, solidifying, like, you know, a position for her to do, because she's grown old enough, you know, for me to begin to see the things that she loves early on. And mm-hmm. that she, you know, I got something very, very special coming up with me and my daughter that I just know. I don't even care how the world feels about it, like, because she's in love with the idea and I'm in love with it. And, mm-hmm. you know, we get to do, you know, we get to do something, you know, at a high level, you know, together.
Right.
So that's going to be beautiful. Like, I'm so excited about that. So excited about that. Therapy. You know what I mean? That's definitely something. Conversations like this are therapeutic. When I sit across from people like you, you know, I already know, okay, boom, that's going to be a therapy session ahead. Like, like, I love it. You know what I mean? Like, I just love people who have compelling conversation and who just come from a place, especially you. Like, the more I talk to you and just knowing, like, your, you know, your real life experiences and, you know, things that you've been through, you can understand my perspective and, you know, my setup as a person and my character from a place that, you know, a lot of people just simply can't.
Yeah.
Like, I always felt like that's my purpose. Like, I feel like the way my career has played out thus far is that's exactly how it was supposed to happen. Like, because even at the time, like, you know, with this and me as a person, like, that's very big, the therapy and just finding an outlet for all of the feelings and emotions and experiences I've suppressed this entire time.
Yeah.
Because even during the fact, like, okay, I'm the top streaming artist in the world. I'm you know, one of the like go-to live performers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Definitely, like, top of the, you know what I mean, the mm-hmm, food chain. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also, you know, my brother just killed himself in front of his daughter, you know what I mean, just months before then, you know what I'm saying, left four kids, you know what I'm saying. So it's like, I'm the head of the family, like, mm-hmm. I'm responsible for so many people, you know what I mean, emotionally, financially, you know what I mean, like, I'm just responsible for so much and so many people, and this is me, but this is also still me being a person who grew up, you know, and having to suppress emotions, feelings, these types of things, and having it instilled in me to never let anyone feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
No, like, I hear you there.
Never let anyone feel sorry for you. So that was, like, the main thing. And, you know, and I saw, you know, my brother, like, looking for sorrow, like, and on a live stream, just, you know, seconds before ending the live stream and killing himself. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, This is my world as I'm going on that stage at Rolling Loud. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I still went on the stage, gave a hell of a performance right up until, you know, that life-changing moment, that pivotal moment, career-changing moment, life-changing mm-hmm. as well. You know what I'm saying? But this is like, you know, I understand even with that, like, my reaction to that, because, okay, now it's like they're making me take the lid off of that jar that I've just suppressed all these things in.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I'm going to tap into that space, and I just feel like, you know, the world just got like, you know, the bad end of a ticking time bomb. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was. Like, I was just a ticking time bomb the entire time. So I feel like the way that situation played out, man, it was healthy. It was so needed, because I'm such a hot commodity, like, and I'm such a hustler, a workaholic, that I'm using my hustle to just, you know, to help me suppress. I'm just staying busy to help me suppress all of these feelings, you know what I'm saying?
And, like, not dealing with what's happening underneath.
Absolutely. And what's happening underneath is very real. This is, you know, this is as real as it gets. That's my worst nightmare. Like, it's never been about me. It's my people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've lived through my worst nightmare while being the the at the time hottest artist in the world, top streaming rapper in the world.
Right. Right.
Not just, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, man, you know, so it's
yeah.
You know, my plate was full, but I'm not one to complain. I'm going to grab my fork, my knife, and my spoon. I'm going to eat. You know what right. I'm saying? Like, that's what it is, especially when eating makes you forget about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I
you know, the pain as, of, yeah. of the stomach ache.
But,
ahead
but
of
as,
time.
I, as I say, man, from one human being to another,
mm-hmm.
from one brother to another, I hope you take a moment to acknowledge the stress, the pressure, the
Absolutely.
Environment, everything that it comes with, and know that, honestly, maybe, and I hope you don't make me regret this. I'll be honest with you. From right. me to you,
mm-hmm.
don't make me regret this moment, DaBaby.
Got you.
I'm rooting for you.
No, for sure. I appreciate
I hope the best
that.
For you.
I'm that
I hope
type
you'll
of person.
Be, I hope
That's
you'll become
I
an icon. I hope you'll become somebody who makes the world a better place.
I will.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm rooting for you. Don't make me look bad.
I got you.
People are going to play this interview and be like,
I got
he
you.
Vouched for him.
For sure.
You know,
I
think you're beyond everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are truly someone who can rise to the greatest heights. We've seen your work. We've seen what you're passionate about.
Appreciate that.
You're an amazing parent. Keep doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid the guns. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's. No. I mean, that's
I
just
hate
me.
Them. I hate guns.
That's just me.
The kids,
that's just me.
I hate guns.
Yeah, but I appreciate you, my dude. Thank you for the time.
I appreciate you having me, man. Thank you so much.
Much.
You know what I mean? Thank you.
What Now with Trevor Noah is produced by Spotify Studios in partnership with Day Zero Productions, Fullwell 73, and Odyssey's Pineapple Street Studios. The show is executive produced by Trevor Noah, Ben Winston, Jenna Weiss-Berman, and Barry Finkel. Produced by Emmanuel Hafsis and Marina Henke. Music, mixing, and mastering by Hannes Brown. Thank you so much for taking the time and tuning in. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I hope we left you with something. Hopefully we'll see you again next week. Same time, which is whenever you listen. Same place, which is wherever you listened. Next Thursday, all new episode. What Now?